Alrighty. Well, how many here enjoy getting into God's Word? Digging deeper into God's Word on a weekly basis? It's good stuff, right? It's food for the spirit, just like, you know, your breakfast and your lunch is food for the physical self, right? Alright, last week we finished a series called What Does God Love? What does God love? And make no mistake about it, first and foremost, God loves all the people of the world that He created, right? It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves you so very much. It says in 2 Peter 3:9 that God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. So we all agree that God loves people, right? You are so valuable to God. You are so precious to God. But there are certain character traits that God really loves. And the passage we studied from was Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. And last week we talked about the character trait of peacemaking that God loves. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is a God of peace. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, not the troublemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And, you know, if there's somebody in your life that is gossiping constantly and causing strife and trouble, you may need to separate yourself from the gossip in order to keep the peace. Because the peacemakers are blessed, not the troublemakers. You agree? All right, today I want to share with you a message called Faith Plus. Faith Plus. How many here today are a candidate for God's miracle in your life? For God to do something special in your life? Anybody here a candidate for God to do something special with you? To bring you to a higher level in some area of your life. You know, friend, God has got a bigger place for you this year. A bigger place than where you're at right now. Thank God for John 3:16. This is a great shelter. And the founder named it John 3:16 because John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. But you know, God has got even a better place for you to live. You live here at the shelter now, but God has got an apartment for you eventually. He's got a house for you to live in. You know, He's got a higher level of transportation for you. You may be riding a bike. You may be walking. You may be taking a bus. But God has got an automobile in store for you. He's got a better place for you in dollars, what you make per hour. You may be making $4 or $5 or $6 an hour. He's got $8, $9, $10. He's got some of you here to be business owners in the future, making $15 or $20 an hour. He's got something bigger for you. You know, He's got higher levels for you in education. You may have only a high school degree, but you know what? God has for you an undergraduate degree. You can go to college. He may have graduate studies in store for you. He's got bigger places for you in relationship. And you know, you may have some mental set points in your life. What's a mental set point? It's basically this, you know, I'm at this level in life, and you might be thinking, this is only where I'm going to go. I'm not going to go any higher than this. And maybe because of things people said to you in the past or things that have happened to you in the past, you've got these mental set points. This is where I am in different areas of my life. I'm living at the shelter, and I cannot go beyond this. But in the name of Jesus, you can break those mental set points. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen?
Amen?
How many here have heard messages on faith? Messages on faith. That faith is all you need for God to do a miracle in your life. Faith is all that you need for God to bring you from one level to a higher level. Faith is all you need. Sit and wait in faith on God. That's good. You know, some people have taught that you can name your miracle and then just claim your miracle. You name it and then you claim it. And that's good and well. Faith is fine. Faith is good. That's what God requires of us. You know, faith pleases God. You know, faith in God is most important. Trusting God. No, what is faith? Faith is knowing in your knower that you know that you know that you know that God is able to do what He promises in His Word that He can do for you. It's knowing that you know that you know on the inside, in your knower, that God is able to do for you what He has promised to you personally, what He can do in your life. Faith is very important. It's like the little three-year-old girl, right, who loves her daddy. Her daddy loves her. She's got faith in her daddy, that daddy will provide for all of her needs, and daddy does. But you know, faith in God, friend, is half of the puzzle to receiving the miracle that God has for your life. Say it again. Faith in God is just half the puzzle to receiving the miracle or the next level that God has for you in your life. What is the other half of the puzzle? In receiving your miracle. In receiving the next level that God has for you in some area of your life. The other half of the puzzle is doing your part. Action. Making your faith in God real and practical. Putting hands and feet to your faith in God. Is that making sense? Let me read you a little story. I've read this before. Some of you may have heard it, but I think it's a good illustration for the purposes of this message. It's called The Rope. The night felt heavy in the heights of the mountain, and the man could not see anything. All was black, zero visibility, and the moon and the stars were covered by the clouds. As he was climbing only a few feet away from the top of the mountain, he slipped and fell into the air, falling at a great speed. The climber could only see black spots as he went down, and the terrible sensation of being sucked by gravity. He kept falling, and in those moments of great fear, it came to his mind all the good and bad episodes of his life. He was thinking about how close to death he was getting when all of a sudden he felt the rope tied to his waist pull him very hard. His body was hanging in the air, only the rope was holding him, and in that moment of stillness he had no other choice but to scream, "Help me, God!" All of a sudden a deep voice coming from the sky answered, "What do you want me to do?" And he said, "Save me, God." And God replies, "Do you really think I can save you?" "Of course I believe you can." So this man claimed that he had faith in God, right? "Then cut the rope tied to your waist." There was a moment of silence, and the man decided to hold on to the rope with all of his strength. The rescue team tells that the next day a climber was found dead and frozen, his body hanging from a rope, his hands holding tightly to it, only 10 feet away from the ground. Right? This man claimed that he had faith in God, right, to do the miracle in his life. What was the miracle in this man's life that he was waiting for? Was to have his life saved, right? He was like, "God, save me. Do you believe that I can save you?" "Yes, I believe it so, God." And he lost his life. Why is that? Why did he lose his life? He lost the miracle of deliverance that God had for him. Why?
He fought his brother.
What's that?
He fought his brother.
Okay, anybody else?
His faith was strong.
Said he had no action to his faith. God was telling him, "Cut the rope. Cut the rope. You claim to have faith in me. Then do something about the faith you have that you claim you have in me. Cut the rope." And he couldn't cut the rope. And he lost his life. Friend, you may be sitting and waiting around for God's miracle in your life. Whatever that miracle may be, financial, educationally, emotionally, relationally, you know, in ministry, a miracle of provision maybe in housing or in transportation. You may be waiting in faith for that miracle, for the next level. But guess what? I've got a revelation for you today. You may have been saying for years, "I'm waiting in faith on God for this miracle. I'm waiting in faith." But guess what? Is it possible perhaps that God is waiting for you to put action to the faith you claim you have in Him? Friend, God is waiting on us. In this story, the rope, He was waiting on the mountain climber to do something with his faith. He was waiting for the mountain climber to cut his rope. And he didn't do it. And he lost the miracle. A lot of people have been waiting around for 20, 30, 40 years for their miracle, just waiting. I believe that God is just going to drop this miracle into my lap. But could it be that God is waiting for you to do something with your faith, to make it real, to make it practical, to put hands and feet to the faith you claim that you have in God? Is that making sense?
Amen.
See, God is waiting on us to bring us to the next level. How do we put action to our faith? And we're going to get very practical for the next few minutes. How do we go ahead and put action to our faith? How do we make our faith real to go to the next level, to receive the miracle that God has in His hand for us? How do we make it real? What's one of the things that we can do?
Believe.
Okay.
And have faith in Him.
Believe. We're talking about belief. Faith plus. Okay, good. It's a four-letter word. How do we make our faith real? How do we go to the next level? It's a four-letter word. W-O-R-K. Work. And it's a good four-letter word, right? You know, a guy that I used to hang around with, an acquaintance, kind of a friend of the past, he said to me, Jonathan, I just sit around and I believe in God for miracles in my life. I'm believing God to bring these finances into my life, into my lap. And I believe God with all of my heart. He says, I don't believe in work. I was like, really? No, I don't believe in working. I was like, why? He says, because it's part of the curse. I was like, part of the curse? I was like, it's part of what the Bible tells us that we need to do as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ. Friend, in order to get to the next level, in order to receive your miracle from God, you may need to, if you don't today, but you may need to get a J-O-B, a job. You know, I've heard it said like this, elbow grease is pretty good. Put some elbow grease on and start working steadily. Work hard, work consistently. Have a good work ethic. And I can't drive this into you enough today. Only God can reveal this and make it real in your life, friends. But you need to pray for God's grace and His strength. You know, to have the ability to work on a consistent basis. It's what's going to get you to the next level. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, what did Jesus do for a living? According to Mark 6:3, what was He? He was a carpenter. He was what?
Oh, okay.
He was a carpenter. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament. What was he? According to Acts 18, verse 3. Paul was a tent maker. He made tents. So Jesus worked. Paul worked. And so can we, right? God has given you a healthy body. He's given you eyes. He's given you ears. He's given you a mouth. He's given you hands and legs. He's given you health. He's given you life. Your life is a precious gift from God. You can do something with your life. You can W-O-R-K work. It's a good thing. It's a good four-letter word. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:28. Paul is talking about living as children of the light. Ephesians 4:28. He's talking about living holy lives, how we should live as Christians. And this is one of the things he says. He says, He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. He must do what? He must work, doing something useful with his hands, that he may not have only for himself, but to share with others who are not able to work. Making sense? Let's read another of Paul's epistles, 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3, this is real practical. Verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3, 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. What does the word idle mean? Keep away from every brother who is idle. What does it mean?
Doing nothing.
Being unproductive. Being inactive. Another definition for idle is being lazy. That's it. Verse 7. For you yourselves know how we ought to follow how you ought to follow our example. Verse 7. We were not idle when we were with you, Nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. Verse 8. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We worked what? Just once in a while?
Day and night.
Just a few minutes here and there? Just a few hours here and there? No, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Verse 9. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. And he's a model for us to follow. Verse 10. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work,
he shall not eat.
He shall not eat. Verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle. In other words, inactive, unproductive, lazy. They are busy. They are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. In verse 10, it says, if a man will not work, right, he shall not eat. Can we also expand that to say that if a man does not work, if he's able to work but does not work, he may not go to a higher level in housing? If a man does not W-O-R-K work, he may not go to a higher level of transportation. If a man does not W-O-R-K, he may not get a higher level of education or go to a higher place in relationship. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
It takes work, friends. Good things take work. Rome was not built in a day. You agree with that? Look at James. Look at what James writes in James chapter 2. We've heard it many times, but it bears repeating. And in James chapter 2, let me just make this note. He's talking about saving faith in Christ. And he's saying that if you really claim to have saving faith in Christ, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and your Savior, he says, then your works should follow. In other words, if you claim to have faith in Christ, you should have works of charity, works of love, to demonstrate this faith that you claim you have. Let's look at James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. Verse 16. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. In other words, if you have faith in God to do a miracle in your life, but you've got no action, if you're not doing anything about it, is it possible to say that that miracle may not come about in your life? Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Faith without action is dead. We've got to do something, friends. We've got to work. You've got potential stored up on the inside. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life, but it's not going to just be dropped into your life, into your lap. You've got to actively do something to pursue what God has for you. Every good thing takes work and diligence. Is that making sense? You know, God can really drive this into you, but I'm here to encourage you today. So, how do you put action to your faith? Number one, by work, right? W-O-R-K. Number two, by being, here's the last point, by being consistent and faithful. You know, there's some people out there that might say, you know what, I'll work for the first six months of this year. Work for 6 months when it gets hot in the summer, just kick back by the pool, get some sun, go to the beach and enjoy the 3 summer months, and then for the last part of the year, I'll just prepare for the next year. No, friends, it's not 6 months, 6 months on and 6 months off, 6 months on and 6 months off. It's a consistency. You've got to be faithful. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. What is faithfulness?
Belief.
What is faithfulness? What is it?
Belief.
Okay, all right. Anybody else? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Same things over and over, and you're faithful to it. Exactly. He hit the nail on the head. It's a consistent steadiness to a course of action. Now, look at my watch. I know I've said this before, but it's got a second hand on it. Right? That second hand is faithful. It ticks how many seconds a minute? 60 seconds a minute, 60 minutes an hour, and 24 hours a day. Doesn't matter what the atmosphere is like inside here or outside. It could be noisy on the inside here. It could be cold outside. It could be really hot outside. But the second hand will tick faithfully, consistently. Is that making sense? You've got to have that second-hand quality, consistency and faithfulness. You know, I've known of people in the past where, you know, they go through so many jobs in a short period. Well, I've got this job for a few weeks, and I've got this other job for the next few weeks, and this other job for the next few months. But no, friend, God is wanting us to be consistent, to hold on to a thing for a length of time. Is that making sense to you today? Not just stopping and starting, stopping and starting, stopping and starting. That won't get you results in life. That's not going to bring you to the miracle God has for your life. It won't bring you to the next level God has. God is looking for somebody who is consistent, like the second hand on a clock, you know. And, you know, you may go to work. You may have a job, if you have a job. And maybe your employer gets you upset in something he says or does. Or maybe a fellow employee gets you upset. Or maybe you're out there in the heat of the day and you're sweating. Like, man, I just can't take this anymore. I just want to quit. But friend, I'm here to tell you today, don't quit when the going gets tough. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. In Christ, we are tough, right? So we got to get going and be consistent and faithful. And if you do so, if you're consistent, if you're faithful at your job, at what God has called you to do, He will bring you to the next level. Making your faith real by adding action. Work, W-O-R-K. How many here know of Billy Graham? Great evangelist, yes. Great evangelist. He knew that he was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has been doing it consistently for you know how long?
18 years.
Oh, much more than that.
30 years.
Around 60 years plus, 60. Consistently preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And ministry like that sometimes is hard work. You know, just like working a job. But he's been consistent at it, and he's got it's a large organization today. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association is known around the world. They are reaching tens and hundreds of thousands of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But why has it succeeded? Why has it become large? Why has this ministry had a far-reaching effect, impact? Because Billy Graham was what? He worked hard. He was consistent. He was faithful.
A lot of people don't know that Billy Graham was called the president. He used to call upon him.
That's right. He'd pray for them. He'd counsel with them. And Oral Roberts University here in Tulsa. How many know of ORU a little bit? It's gone through its hard times, but I've heard it said at the campus that the university was built with blood, sweat, and tears. God told Oral Roberts when he was a young boy that you're going to build me a university. A Christian university. He was just a young boy, teenager, when God spoke to him. Many years later, he founded the university, but they've had some hard times at the school in different ways. But Oral Roberts stuck through it, through the thick and the thin. He was consistent and faithful, and that university has raised up so many ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People who share the gospel in their different professions. Doctors and nurses, business people, people who work with computers. But Oral Roberts was what? He was a hard worker, and he was a faithful hard worker. And the university is standing still today. It is a success, ultimately, in the eyes of God. Did you get the point today? Faith is good. Faith is good, but without action, faith is just some type of concept that is out there. You've got to put hands and feet to your faith. You've got to make it real. How do you make it real? By
work.
By adding your action, right? By working. W-O-R-K. And not being idle, like Paul the Apostle encourages us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Amen?
Amen.
You guys get the point today? Say it with me. Say, I'm not going to be idle. I am going to be productive with my life, working with my hands, with my life, the thing that is good, that is productive, not only to bring me to the next level in life, but to help somebody else in need. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You need to post it, friend. It's good to be said, but you know what? You've got to do it. You've got to walk it out on a daily basis. So I pray in the name of Jesus, in the days and in the weeks and in the months to come, you really practice this. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus today for my brothers here, Father God, and my sister. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you've got something wonderful in store for them. You've got a great miracle in store. You've got another level in some area of their life, Father God. But I just pray that you drive this word into us, Father God, that it's faith in you, in your ability, but it's also action on our part, doing something with the faith we claim to have in you. And God, I thank you that you've got great things in store for them, great plans, great purposes, great potential on the inside. And I pray, God, that we're consistent and faithful in what you've called us to do, and that we will not quit when the going gets tough. And God, we thank you that our strength comes from you. You give us your grace and your strength to carry through in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.